Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There are few men whose intelligence I have come to respect more, as well as their service to our country over a very long period of time and in various capacities, than I do our first guest. He is Admiral James Ace Lyons, a former four-star Navy admiral who commanded, among other things, the U.S. Pacific Fleet. He had a distinguished record in the Navy and has gone on since to contribute mightily to the national security public policy debate by, among other things, serving as the chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee. He is also the president and CEO of Lyon Associates and is a dear friend and much admired colleague. Admiral Lyons, it's so good to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Nice to be back with you, Frank, and your listeners.
I wanted to ask you, sir, first and foremost, about your reaction to President Trump's remarks yesterday about his plan for going forward in Afghanistan. You have been, of course, familiar with this very difficult problem in that part of the world for many years. Tell us what you make of his plan for going forward.
Well, as I have spoken and written about it a number of times, you know, the bottom line is we have no core vital interest in Afghanistan. And my position has been we should stop wasting our national treasure to continue to support a corrupt tribal society. The elements of his speech last night indicate to me it's going to be more of continuing the same. While he did not give specific numbers, I've heard something on the order of 4,000 more troops will be going into Afghanistan. And he made this declaration, we will achieve victory. Well, I don't know how you define victory. The one element that I thought was positive that Pakistan apparently is no longer off limits, and that the money that we've been providing, billions of dollars to Pakistan as a so-called ally, is going to be terminated, which I fully support.
We have been noodling about this for some time, Admiral, and the question of whether or not we would like the Afghan territory once again to return to a full-fledged incubator of jihadism and terrorism has been a powerful argument to many of us, including, I have to say, myself. I would like to see if we could do it without a big army footprint and all that goes with it, including the high costs in lives and treasure that we've seen in Afghanistan for so many years. I wonder, sir, have you been acquainted with the concept that Eric Prince has most prominently been associated with of trying to do this at a far smaller cost, both in terms of Americans exposed and in terms of the footprint there, namely by using CIA personnel and contractors to work with Afghans to basically kill the jihadists endangering us? Have you had a chance to look at that, sir? And if so, do you think that may have merit?
Well, I've looked at it. You know, there's some positive aspects of it. But again, I take the position, Frank, I go back again. What is our core vital interest there? We don't have any. Now, again, nobody wants to see it become an incubator again where terrorists can then plan and launch an attack on the United States. Well, that can happen anywhere. That argument to me sort of doesn't have legs. Now, my view, again, if they go back in and the established bases and so forth, we know how to take them out. And that's what we should plan to do. To the extent that Eric and his proposal could do that job, that would be fine with me.
Let me ask you, sir, about another topic that you're very much familiar with, of course, having commanded Navy fleets. When you look at what's been happening in the Pacific of late, this year alone, there have been four different incidents. One was a grounding, but three have involved collisions, including most recently, as you know, the USS John McCain. What do you think's going on here, sir? I'm reminded of looking at the World Trade Center towers getting hit the first time and wondering what happened there, but hitting the second time, being pretty clear that something really nefarious was afoot. Is that the case here as well?
If I step back, and I don't have any of the details, but let me just say from my professional perspective, these are all personnel errors. And there's flexibility and a maneuverability of these ships, and with their gas turbine propulsion, they can immediately get out of any dangerous situation. So the fact that they let themselves get into the position they were in makes absolutely no sense to me. So what are the factors involved here? Training certainly is one. And crew makeup. And by that, I am referring to part of Obama's social engineering mandates and the great emphasis where we've replaced best and brightest with diversity that rooms supreme. And I find it interesting, the Navy will not release the name of the officer of the deck of the Fitzgerald, which leads me to believe it's one of the anointed social engineering mandates. I do not understand why the captain of that ship was in his import cabin sleeping when he should have been at least in his sea cabin right in back of the bridge or on the bridge if it was a dangerous high traffic situation. And the same way on the McCain, I have to assume going into Singapore, the captain was on the bridge. He had to be. If not, it was pure dereliction of duty.
Admiral, let me ask you, there's increasingly, and the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Richardson, seems to have been acknowledging as much, that there's a possibility, at least, that a deliberate incident was responsible, perhaps contributed to by some of the considerations you've just talked about. There's talk now, sir, about spoofing of GPS and otherwise interfering with the electronic sort of situational awareness of ships, including apparently at the hands of the Russians in the Black Sea. Could that be operating here as well? And at the very least, I just wonder, sir, when you see the takedown or take out temporarily, fortunately, but for some period of time of these ships with vital ballistic missile defense capabilities, that there isn't at least a question in order as to who would benefit most from that kind of activity and whether they might have had a hand in it.
Well, that's certainly a consideration, Frank. But also, you have lookouts. You have visual lookouts. And, you know, you just don't let yourself get into it. You're looking out from that bridge. You can look out 12 miles.
It's hard to miss some of these big freighters, isn't it? Or container ships or oil tankers.
Exactly. So the fact that perhaps there may be some electronic spoofing of the GPS, I wouldn't discount it. But again, you have other means to combat that. Before you had GPS, you used the Mark I eyeball. This is called seamanship. This is called alertness. This is called professionalism. This is what you train your crew to do.
I've had more than one senior military officer tell me that they suspected that all of these personnel were highly rated in terms of their diversity training and equal opportunity sensitivity and all of that, but may not have gotten their chops checked out on navigation and seamanship. it's of great concern, needless to say. I know you as a Navy professional must feel it more than most, sir, but I appreciate you coming on to talk with us about it, and we will look forward to discussing these things with you as we learn more about these incidents at sea and, of course, Afghanistan and more. Admiral Ace Lyons, thank you so much for your time today, sir. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll get a second opinion on all of this with Jed Babin, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.